Thank you both for your arguments. Christopher Ricard versus Jerry Stearns.
May it please the court, my name is Adam Oyebanji. I'm pro bono counsel for the appellant Mr. Rickard in this matter. It's Mr. Rickard's hope that this court can see its way clear to raising the state of Illinois from the bureaucratic bed of nails on which it somehow managed to impale itself.
Could you try to talk a little louder, please?
It would be helpful to us.
That'll be a first for this court.
Yeah.
The reason I put it that way, Your Honours, is simply that the underlying equities of Mr. Rickard's position are not in dispute. Mr. Rickard wishes to be transferred to the United Kingdom. The state of Illinois wishes to transfer him to the United Kingdom. The United States has agreed that he may be transferred to the United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom would like to take him.
The equities are a little confused, because what he wants is for the state of Illinois to turn a 40 to 80 sentence into a 40-year determinate sentence. Has he asked the governor, for example, to commute his sentence to 60 years, middle of the range?
He has not sought, at least as far as I am aware, commutation recently. In the past he has, but that was before.
Has he ever sought a remedy other than to turn 40 to 80 into 40?
Your Honor, I would say simply this, that he has sought a remedy in which he has indicated he would like a determinate sentence. Obviously, he would prefer the determinate sentence to be 40. But what he really desires is a determinate sentence. And while the, I say, in any event, that the equities are undisputed between the parties, that doesn't help me unless I can put forward a legal basis.
Let me ask the same question in a different way. Under Illinois' parole guidelines, when can Rickard expect to be released, given his current sentence, assuming he stays in Illinois?
Well, he can't expect to be released. He is eligible for parole. He has been eligible for parole for since 1998, when half of the minimum term
has
been served.
They don't have any guidelines that prescribe when that is likely to happen?
No. I can't I can't say the guidelines are sufficiently precise for one to say that. There's a great deal of discretion.
Okay. Well, if Illinois really wants to achieve it, they can put him on parole.
Your Honor, that would
and
be...
And then allow him to serve the remaining time in the United Kingdom.
Your Honor, that might be a way for the parole board to go, but of course the problem we have here is we're dealing with the IDOC and not the parole board. And
well,
the
I understand that, but you might try to take an end run and see if you could do it that way.
How often is he eligible for parole under the Illinois?
He can come up every year. I think he has, I believe he was due to be up again in April, but I haven't had confirmation that there was a hearing. The issue we have, however, is simply IDOC's behavior rather than that of the parole board or the governor.
Right.
And while I can see there may be other routes, I'm reluctant.
Well, I don't think Illinois would really want to fight it, because you'd have to pay to keep them and to confine them.
One would have
thought. They ship them over there too.
But equally, one could say it could be done this way. The bureaucratic snafu we've run into is. In IDOC, there's no guarantee we wouldn't have run into it anywhere else. The same problem presents itself. And what we say is that the way the bureaucracy in this case has operated, the net result has been to violate Mr. Ricard's due process rights. Because he, when I say
what that, rights does he have after cases like Shaparo Alcantara?
well,
in which we hold that international conventions are for the benefit of the governments and not for the benefit of the people. I can understand the United Kingdom getting cheesed off at Illinois, but it's very hard to see after Shaparro Alcantara how Rickard has any rights.
Rickard has no right to be cheesed off in respect of...
The United Kingdom has an entitlement to the return of its nationals. But the United Kingdom is not here complaining.
Alas, no, Your Honor. The issue, however, is not the right of transfer. The case that Your Honor quite rightly points out is one that says there's no liberty interest in a transfer. We haven't got...
No, Shaparro Alcantara is not a transfer case.
Well,
it's a case about the application of the consular convention on meeting with consular officials.
I beg your pardon.
The critical step in the holding is the conclusion that international conventions create rights in nations and not in person.
Your Honor, forgive me, I took a step too far. That's right, it's a treaty matter.
Do you know that you're into your rebuttal time?
Your Honor, I did not.
You can continue if you wish, but I just want
Your Honor,
to...
Your Honor, I'd like to deal with this point because
fine.
It's important.
Go right ahead.
The liberty interest here is not in the treaty. It's in the sentence. The sentence that he's been given is an indeterminate one. He wants to change that to a determinate one. That is a change of sentence. It's a much more important liberty interest in my submission, even than a right of parole. I beg your pardon, Your Honor.
Perfectly lawful sentence.
Your Honor, the sentence is lawful. It's not. I'm not saying the sentence is unlawful. I'm saying there's an interest in it. If, after all, one is at trial, one has an interest in how one is sentenced, even if the sentence is lawful.
Maybe that's the core of my question. The federal statutes, 2241, 2254, give people a right to challenge unlawful sentences. But your client has a lawful sentence.
Your
client's interest is in where he serves it. That's affected by an international convention, and the international convention doesn't seem to create personal rights.
Your Honor, no, that's not our case. Our case
No, it's not your argument. It is, unfortunately for you, your case.
Well, that's not a concession I can make. Our case is that he's held in violation now of his due process rights. Not that his sentence is illegal, but he's got himself into a position where he has a right to vindicate in a change of sentence, and he simply has not been provided any mechanism by which to do that.
Can you petition the governor?
Your Honor, there are other means by which we could proceed.
Yeah,
but
you could petition the governor.
I am not a lobbyist, Your Honor. I'm a lawyer, and I'm before the Seventh Circuit. Your Honor, I will save whatever little time I have left for rebuttal, if I may.
All right. Thank you. All right. The real gentleman.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Colleen Griffin from the Illinois Attorney General's Office on behalf of the respondent in this case. Initially, I'd like to point out that the petitioner's maximum release date is April 27th of 2017, so he cannot spend any more time in prison until after that date.
That's quite a long ways off.
Yes, he does. He is entitled to
a lot. Is there any reason why Illinois isn't willing, if once it's calculated that date, just to have a governor issue an order converting his sentence to a determinate sentence ending on that date and send him to the United Kingdom?
Well,
it's certainly going to be a lot cheaper for the state of
yes,
Illinois.
It would, and the Illinois Department of Corrections has been agreeable to this all along. The United Kingdom is the entity that can't take him because of their sentencing
law. The United Kingdom could take him if you commuted his sentence to one ending in 2017.
But the grievance is against the Illinois Department of Corrections for failing to do so. The Illinois Department of Corrections...
So far as the federal government is concerned, the Illinois Department of Corrections is just a blip. It's the state of Illinois that is responsible for this man. The state of Illinois may have 53 separate bureaucracies in it. We don't care. Right? Why doesn't the state of Illinois do what's needed to convert his sentence to a determinate sentence?
Well, for one thing, the I don't know that the governor even would have the authority to do so.
Why
the governor.
Why wouldn't he have it?
It's the.
He has plenary commutation power.
Right.
The petitioner never petitioned in the Illinois state court before.
You don't petition the state courts to get the governor to commute a sentence.
No, you
the
do
governor.
To get your sentence changed. And in fact, the petitioner did contact the governor. The governor just never responded to that contact, and that's why he's now pursuing a claim against the Illinois Department of Corrections. However, I don't know why.
Very responsible on
yeah.
the part of the state.
So you don't object. You would not object if the date of 2017 were used, and so if another petition were filed, would you object?
I would object on the basis
to the governor.
To the governor doing so?
Right.
No, I would object to the authority of this court to order the governor.
We understand that. Yeah.
Nobody was going to order
right.
to ask him.
We
right.
understand that,
oh,
but
no,
I'm just saying in terms of your position. So if he files a petition before the governor and you make no objection and it gets to the governor's attention, then this could be solved.
Yes, the Illinois Department of Corrections has never had a problem with transferring the petitioner to the United Kingdom. The Illinois Department of Corrections just has never had the authority to convert his sentence according to our argument. And I would like to also point out that the United Kingdom, when it sends a letter to the petitioner stating that it could not take him because of his indeterminate sentence, I think that's Exhibit 5 to the appendix that petitioner attaches to his brief. And that, and I didn't notice this before, but in that letter, they state that they have opted out of the provision whereby they themselves can convert a sentence. They only will accept petitioners whose sentence they can continue over there. So it's really the United, and that the section of conversion.
I don't understand.
There's
thought the United Kingdom's position, indeed it's part of the convention, is that the receding country can convert sentences provided they don't become more onerous.
Correct.
The United Kingdom's problem is that its next conversion of this sentence is to life imprisonment.
Under Article.
And they would probably view that as more onerous. They did indeed view that as more onerous.
There's two ways that you can, the United Kingdom can take him. The first way is under, I think, 9.1a, where the United Kingdom can continue a sentence, and the second one is convert a sentence. The United Kingdom, and there's a provision in Section 11, in Article 11, which deals with conversion, which specifically states while you can't aggravate a sentence, you are not bound by the receiving country's minimum sentence. So if they were willing to convert a sentence, in the, I think it's Exhibit 5, they specifically note that they do not convert sentences, they only continue them. And that is one of the reasons why his sentence can't be converted by the United Kingdom. They can't continue an indeterminate sentence because they don't recognize an indeterminate sentence other than life. But they refuse to attempt to convert his sentence because they don't do that. And Article 9 specifically allows for parties to the treaty to decide if they want to either continue sentences, convert sentences, or opt out of one of those particular ways of receiving a prisoner, and they have determined that they don't convert sentences. So as far as the United Kingdom's position on this, it's really their fault, I guess, if you will, that they can't take the petitioner. Illinois Department of Corrections has always stated that they gave their initial.
Yes, I hope you could hear our problem. It is not the Illinois Department of Corrections that is the subject
that.
Of this grievance. It is the behavior of the state of Illinois as an entity, as a sovereign body. And the state of Illinois can't play a little shell game saying, oh, well, we're the Illinois Department of Corrections, and he's the governor, and he's somebody else. As far as the federal government is concerned, the state of Illinois is one entity.
I understand that. And as I said, and I guess I won't restate it, to the extent that the governor has the authority to convert his sentence, the petitioner.
So bottom line is, if he files a petition to commute, you would be willing to write a letter or something to the governor that might get the governor's attention in terms of how much money would be saved, how many resources would be saved, that you wouldn't object, most likely, if the department put something in writing to the governor, would get the governor's attention.
Why don't you put that in play and solve the problem?
Do it.
I'm sure the petitioner could attach our original agreement to his transfer. I don't know what...
Would it be too hard for you... let me ask you. Would it be too hard for you to go to your department head and just suggest to them that they do it?
No, it would not.
Would you do that?
I will look into doing that, yes.
Thank you.
If there's no further questions.
Thank you.
Your Honor, it's just one matter. This points about conversion of sentence under Article 11. It suggested that the United Kingdom had refused to use that and could and should have done. 11.1d specifically says that the United Kingdom in this state shall not aggravate the penal position of the sentenced person. And under Article 11, the only sentence the UK could impose is one of life, which is an aggravation. Beyond that, Your Honour, I have nothing further to say.
If I understand the calculation of dates correctly, 2017 is actually 39 years from the time your client went into prison.
Your Honour, yes.
Right. So it sounds like this is something, if your client's going to be released in 2017 anyway, it ought to be possible to convert this to a determinate sentence with agreement all around.
Your Honour, yes. We will endeavor to do that. I'm good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you both. And I hope that you will help out, and you're going to save Illinois some money, quite a bit. Thank you.